Well, go ahead and be opening in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. I'm thankful for those of you who are visiting with us. We've got some folks out of town, but thankful for those who have come and to see their families and taking the time to be with us and worship this evening. You're an encouragement to us. I want to talk a little bit about the time in Hezekiah's life when he was told that he was going to die. And he turns and he prays to God, and the Lord grants him 15 more years. And I think we're probably maybe familiar with the story. If not, we'll read maybe just a few verses to kind of pick up the place. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down." And I really just want to use this story to think about a number of things, to think about unexpected tragedy, to think about how it affects us, to think about the Lord telling Hezekiah to set his house in order and be prepared. From time to time, I think we're just kind of rocked maybe out of our just going through things day by day. We get in a routine and we get used to how things are and we're doing things. Maybe sometimes even we feel like we're in a rut. And then suddenly, either we or someone we know becomes ill. Maybe they die unexpectedly. No indication that they were sick. And we begin to wonder, where did the time go? And we lament the fact that there won't be any more opportunities in the future. We wonder maybe, why did it have to happen this way? Why to this person? Why right now? Hezekiah was a righteous man. And the Lord tells him, get ready. Be ready. And so that's what I want to talk about. What if we knew when we would die? Wouldn't we all probably do some things differently? Wouldn't it maybe affect us, affect our urgency? What if we knew when we would die? Hezekiah knew. God told him that he was going to die. And as Isaiah writes it for us here, it seems that maybe he had some indication because it says he was sick and near death. Maybe even he had requested Isaiah to come and to inquire of the Lord for him. And even after Hezekiah prays and he's given more time, he still knows. 15 more years. 15 more years. I got 15 more years left. Hezekiah knew when he would die. We don't know when, but hopefully we understand and remember this, that death is certain for all of us. It is appointed unto man to die once, but after this, the judgment. This is true no matter where we live. The life expectancy in Zimbabwe is a lot lower than it is here. But the death expectancy of Americans is 100%. They're all going to die at some point. They may live longer. They may live better lives. It's true no matter how long we've lived. I've lived 60 years. I'm going to live 60 more, right? It's true whether we're young or old. And you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be old to get that phone call. Set your house in order. For you will die and not live. And after death, we will be judged by God. Hezekiah knew, but maybe sometimes what happens to us, maybe sometimes the reason that we don't live with the urgency and we don't maybe think about things, we get stuck in just the routine of things and forget about what's most important, is because we don't know. And I'm afraid that it's too easy for us to decide because we don't know that we've got all the time in the world to do the things that we want to do, that we want to do for the Lord, that we need to do. We've got all the time in the world. But Peter, as he writes in 2 Peter 3, he tells the people that he's writing to, you need to be ready all the time. Anytime. You don't know. You don't know when the Lord may come back in judgment. And even if we don't think in terms of that, we could make the same application about the day of our death. We don't know. Experience has shown us this. The Scriptures show us this. You say tomorrow in James chapter 4, you say tomorrow you're going to go do something. Are you sure about that? How do you know? What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. And Peter talks about the certainty of judgment based on God's promise. God has said He's going to do this. He is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. And why are things going on the way they go on? Why has the earth stood as long as it has stood? Because God is long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But even in spite of God's long-suffering, He has promised the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Be ready at all times. Even if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime, we know that we won't escape death, and after death comes the judgment. One of the reasons that I kind of thought about using this lesson is because when you were using this story to kind of be the basis for this lesson, because you remember what Isaiah says to Hezekiah, set your house in order, get things in order. And I think Hezekiah is a righteous man. We understand from the Scriptures that he was a faithful king. We're not trying to suggest that there might not have been some things lacking in his life in some way whatsoever, but generally the record speaks of him favorably. But Isaiah comes to him and says, get ready, set your house in order, which says that even the righteous will have things to take care of before death. This is a lesson for any of us and all of us, no matter where we are in our lives, whether we feel strong, whether we feel weak, set your house in order. And when we think about what Peter says, the wisdom of God in understanding the certainty of death and thinking about how to prepare for it is to prepare while we are able. What will we do? What will we correct? What will we address after we're dead? Nothing. Die, then the judgment, right? So here's kind of what I want to spend most of our time talking about probably. Would knowing when we were going to die, would that change us? Would that change the way we do things? Would that change the general order of our day maybe? Would it change some of the nature of the relationships that we have? Would it change us? Here's maybe a simple one. Would we take more time to enjoy God's blessings in this life? I'm afraid that maybe one of the things that we just miss out on a lot, and it may not seem like that big a deal, but is just the opportunity to be thankful. And to be thankful, you've got to kind of see and realize and appreciate what God has given you. And in Romans 1, when Paul's talking about the depravity of the Gentiles, he talks about how they were unthankful. They knew God. They did not glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. That seems like a big deal. It's so easy, I think, for us to get busy and we get consumed with responsibilities. And I think those responsibilities are real. And it's important for us to give attention to those things. We have responsibilities in our families as husbands and wives. We have responsibilities to our children. We have responsibilities to provide for our families, to provide for ourselves. You know, just we might not be married, but here I am, an accountable, an adult. And if I'm going to serve the Lord and glorify the Lord, then I'm going to go out there and try to provide for myself. And then not only that, as Ephesians 4 and verse 28 talks about, I'm going to work and labor with my hands so that I might have something to give to someone who has need. We have these responsibilities. These things are on our mind. We have responsibilities in the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, the Hebrew writer talks about exhorting one another daily. Our work in the kingdom is not a Sunday to Sunday. Do what we do on Sunday and then, you know, see you next Sunday. We're supposed to be exhorting one another daily as the need arises, when it's called today, that we would be ministering to one another and aware of one another's needs. We've got these responsibilities. But don't let these responsibilities cause us to forget to see God's goodness and blessings in this life. We might forget what we're living for. Salvation brings joy. Remember how the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39? Are we rejoicing in salvation? Are we rejoicing in God's mercy? Do we see ourselves as we were and as we still are in need of God's mercy on a regular basis? And do we rejoice in Him? Do we rejoice in our families? Do we rejoice in serving them? And the opportunity to have someone to serve and to share something with. In 3 John, John talked about rejoicing in the faithfulness of his brethren. If we look, there are things for us to rejoice in. And without that kind of attitude toward life, we're going to lose sight of what's good. We're going to lose sight of gratitude for God and how He's blessed us. John says, I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Do you have children, physical children, who are walking in the truth? Don't forget to rejoice in that. You feel like some moment, you know, some days the littlest things can just kind of, we feel like it kind of messes up our whole day, and just another problem to deal with. What about rejoicing that your children walk in the truth? What about rejoicing that your brethren walk in the truth? And rejoicing in those who are trying to serve the Lord faithfully? And would we take more time to enjoy God's blessings if we knew? If we knew when we would die? Would we make more time for family and friends and brethren? You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, sometimes we, I think sometimes I, maybe it's true for us. I'm afraid sometimes I hear people in the world talking about quality of time and quantity of time. And they say, well, you know, I don't spend much time with my family. But the time that I do spend with my family, we make sure that it's quality time. And I'm just not sure if there's really a difference between the two. I would hope that any time with my family would be quality time. How much time had Paul spent with Timothy? preaching the gospel. They had spent, you know, years together traveling and preaching, and yet here at the end of his life, he says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly. I want to see you one more time." It wasn't a matter of quality or quantity for Paul when he thought of Timothy. All the time that he had with Timothy was quality time. And maybe even being nearer to death, maybe it became even more apparent to Paul. Boy, I'd love to see Timothy one last time. Demas has forsaken me. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus is in Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And he says, "Get Mark too and bring him. He's useful to me for ministry." Would we take more time for family and friends if we knew when we would die? Do we have family that we would try to reach if we knew when we would die? I mean, let's just say we knew that we only had 3 more days left to live. Are there family members that we might really try a lot harder to talk to about the gospel of Jesus Christ? The way Jesus describes the rich man in torment, even in torment, the rich man was thinking about this. "Father, send Lazarus back to my father's house, because I have 5 brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Would it change our sense of urgency? You know, and let me just say, we talk to family sometimes and we talk and you know, maybe it doesn't go well and we take a step back, and I can understand that. But I'm just wondering for myself, for any of us, if I knew that maybe next week I wouldn't be here. Maybe I'll step back for a while. Would I step up again and try to talk about spiritual concerns that I have for people in my family? Maybe now would be a good time to try it again, just as we're thinking about the fact that we don't know how much time we have. Maybe that's kind of the idea. Maybe we can be reminded. Maybe now would be a good time to try to talk about these things again. Would we seek reconciliation with our enemies? Are there people in this world that have something against us, that there's something between us that just is not what we want it to be? If we knew next week that we wouldn't be here, would we do something about that? We know what God wants, don't we? We know what's going to bring glory to God. He says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." Peter says, after hearing what Jesus has to say about trying to be reconciled with brethren, Peter wonders, well, what's the point where we stop this effort of reconciliation? "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And again, you know, I know sometimes that there are just some things that are just, it's hard to figure out, to know even where to start. And maybe we've tried to be reconciled in the past, and like sometimes goes with family, it didn't go well and we took a step back. But again, maybe the point of this lesson would be, are there people in my life that things are not what I would like them to be? Would I make time? Would I take advantage of the time to be reconciled to them? To have peace with them? To bring glory to God? To show how humility and submission to Him brings people together? Would I maybe need to make some changes to get ready? You know, we talked about Hezekiah. We make the best judgments we can about these kings, but Hezekiah says, "I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart." And the Lord responds to that prayer favorably. It wasn't necessarily Hezekiah's own spiritual condition that he was worried about and concerned about as he prays there. But just based on what he says, and based on how the Lord responds to Hezekiah, I want you to think about this. If Hezekiah needed to make changes, do you think he'd wait? Do you think he's the kind of guy that would wait? Well, you know, I really know that I haven't been what I need to be. I really know that I'm just not, you know, I'm just not really giving my heart completely to the Lord the way I could, the way I should. But I'll take care of that next week. Oh, I won't be here next week. We don't know. As Ananias spoke to Saul of Tarsus, he knew who Saul was. He knew what had happened to Saul. He knew what Saul knew. And Ananias couldn't imagine a reason to possibly put off getting right with the Lord. Why are you waiting? You know, I think that's a rhetorical question there. Saul, there's no good reason. I know who you are. I know what you've seen. I know what's happened to you. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And so here we'll just kind of ask this question. We're thinking now in terms of, if I knew when I would die, how would it change me? Would these things affect me? Would I take more time to enjoy God's blessings and try to be more thankful? Would I take more time with family and friends? Are there people that I would try to reach in my family? Are there maybe enemies that I would try to be reconciled with? Would I need to make spiritual changes to be prepared? And if the answer to any of these questions is yes, is there any reason not to take care of those things right now? Is there any reason not to take care of those things right now? Because after all, we don't know when we're going to die. And Peter tells us to always be ready, to be looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord by walking carefully before God, by walking in godliness and holiness, by thinking ever about the fact that God could return at any moment. Rejoice in God. Love His people. Show mercy. Be diligent as you can be. Challenge yourself spiritually to grow closer to God, to draw nearer to Him. This is kind of an interesting thing for me to think about in terms of Hezekiah's story. How would knowing motivate me? How would it affect my motivation to live? To die? What would I think about that? What would I choose? And for whatever reason, and I think probably the reason is given to us here in the broader context of Isaiah. But what was Hezekiah concerned about? Why was Hezekiah, you know, concerned about dying at this particular time? He felt like he had a reason to live. And I think that maybe verse 6 and chapter 37 as a whole gives us some indication of what was on Hezekiah's mind. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Assyria didn't conquer the kingdom of Judah, but Assyria did quite a bit of damage to Judah and besieged Jerusalem and was threatening Jerusalem, you know, throughout the time of Hezekiah's reign. And in chapter 37, it's all about the threats of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And Hezekiah takes, you know, this letter that has been sent, takes it to the temple of God and just prays about this letter. Look at this letter. Look what he has said, Lord. What will we do? You show yourself to be strong. And when it says in verse 1, in those days, I think it's related back to chapter 37, the power of Assyria and the threats of Assyria. And God says in response to his prayer, I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And so Hezekiah is concerned about Judah. Who's going to lead Judah and take care of them? You know, this is not a good time for me to die. Judah is in a difficult and terrible condition. They're in trouble. And what does God say? Well, you know, Hezekiah, you're right. And I'm going to give you 15 more years to live and to be there for the people of Judah while they go through this. And I'm going to be with you. We kind of see Paul wrestling with this in Philippians, don't we? The way Paul kind of talks here in Philippians, it doesn't seem that he knows. It seems that he has some confidence that he's going to be released at this time, but he doesn't know for certain. And he's kind of thought about, well, what if I'm not released? What if this leads to my death? What if the Lord asked me what my choice was? What would I choose? And he says, in verse 19, we can go all the way back to verse 19. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Heaven is what every Christian should desire most of all. I believe Paul desired heaven more than anything else. But Paul also realized that he was at a point in his life where he still had a lot of strength to do work and to do good, and that he could do much good if he stayed. And so the idea of, you know, of being torn between going and being with the Lord, that was far better. He knew it was better. But he also knew that he had the strength and the will to do more teaching, to do more work. And so there's nothing wrong with wanting to live longer if that's our way we're thinking. Having a desire, there's someone I can help. There's more that I could do over here. Just remember that we are told to live so as to always be ready. We might have strength and the will to do more good, and we still, our time might come. And after this, the judgment. How would knowing that we have more time affect us? You know, I thought about this for myself. Would it be a blessing for me to know? Would it be a blessing for me to know that I have 15 more years? Would I be busy during that 15 years, maybe holding on to that urgency throughout the course of that 15 years? Or might I use 13 years, 14 years, kind of doing what I want to do, and then maybe that last year I get serious again? And I know that I wouldn't want to do that. But so, you know, the point being is that, you know, sometimes we just knew when we could get our calendar in order and we could get everything done, that we maybe not. Get your calendar in order as best you can. Be as busy as you can to be ready. And if the Lord comes before you can do everything that you're trying to do for Him, to Him be the glory. Let Him be magnified by our lives and then by our deaths, because we've been living to be ready for His return. Go ahead and get your song books out. I think all of us are busy in some way, busy with different things. Sometimes work keeps us busy. Sometimes the combination of work and projects at home keep us busy. And sometimes we're busy doing things that we like to do, and you're trying to be supportive of maybe what some of our children are doing or our grandchildren. We should be busy. But if we knew that our death was close, I think all of us would really focus on being as ready as we could be spiritually, really making sure that we were putting the emphasis there on spiritual things. And so the invitation is simply this: are you ready spiritually? Are you where you want to be when the Lord comes back? Have you done what Saul of Tarsus did when he realized that Jesus was the Son of God. Have you rendered obedience to the gospel? Have you given your best effort maybe to address what may be lacking in your life? Do you need help getting back on track? I think any of us here would want to. We're here for one another. You know, we need to understand this. I hope that we will admit this to one another and that we will admit this to ourselves. We are going to have some low times. We're going to have some times where things just aren't what we want them to be, what they need to be. And hopefully we will lean on one another. We might face unexpected illness or death. And I'll tell you, that's not something that normal people just, I'm suddenly sick. Oh, someone I care about suddenly died and going on tomorrow just like yesterday. No. Sometimes we need help getting back up and getting back on track, getting our minds back on where they need to be and as far as living our lives for the Lord. If you have a need, whether it is to render obedience to the gospel for the first time or to just ask for help and ask for encouragement, whatever it may be, we're going to sing this song. Won't you come?